So this is, series is Access Heaven, Transform Earth. The earth I'm most interested in transforming is me. We've heard in this series on Access Heaven, Transform Earth, that heaven is a now word, not just something we look forward to after we die. We heard that Jesus proclaimed that he came to bring heaven to earth when he quoted Isaiah. We heard what it means to truly be seated in heavenly places with Christ. Also that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, that he created beforehand that we should walk in them. And we heard that it's accessing the power of heaven in our lives today that transforms our soul life. And then also we heard doing life with the God of all life, heaven is available to us. So today I'm talking about living with free access, no condemnation. The veil between heaven and earth is rent. There's been a perspective in the church that Jesus died to get us forgiven, a second chance, but then we are to straighten up and lead a righteous life to please God, all on our own without the understanding of accessing heaven. But the kingdom perspective is faith in Christ puts us in a supernatural realm of innocence, as if we never sinned, a supernatural life force of righteousness, peace, and joy, and love. That's Romans 8, 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. I think the Lord has shown me a little bit to understand the kingdom perspective, and I want to take you on a journey of how I try to keep that kingdom perspective in focus. My first encounter with accessing heaven, it wasn't called that back then, it was back in the 70s. Jim Argue was a pastor at Christian Life Church, Center Church, and also the head of Genesis Bible School. I went to him with some kind of a question or questions, and he said that the Genesis School was formed to answer those kinds of questions and that I should pray about attending the school. My understanding of prayer did not include getting an answer. I told Jim that I could pray about going, but how was I going to know whether I should go or not? And he told me to pray like this, to quiet my heart, then in Jesus Christ's name, to bind the enemy from any influence of my prayer. Then again in Jesus Christ's name, to bind myself from influencing my prayer. And then in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, release Holy Spirit to speak truth and ask my question. Jim said he would also be praying. I went home and did all that. And the word Genesis appeared on the inside of my eyelids in Technicolor. It was pretty awesome. So anyway, God answered my prayer, and I was going to Genesis. The method Genesis taught for accessing heaven, again, they didn't call it that, in our personal quiet time, was to use the tabernacle of Moses. That's Exodus 35 to 40 as a model. And then Psalms 104, 100 verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. So I'd start my prayer by thanking Father God for the things I believed he had provided. So I was entering into his courts with praise, with thanksgiving. But not just, I didn't spiritualize it. The key is to be honest. And the only thing I was honestly thankful for was he had answered a prayer and gotten me a car. And so that was about it to start. Anyway, I was beginning a relationship. Then I would enter his courts with praise by spending time praising him. On entering the courtyard, I would encounter the altar of burnt offerings. And in the model, this represents our Savior Jesus. I would thank Father God for Jesus, and I would thank Jesus for his willing sacrifice. I would spend time doing this. I was developing a relationship. Next is the bronze laver, where the priests would do their ceremonial washing. The surface of the water I would view as a reflecting pool, a mirror into me. I would ask Holy Spirit to search my heart and reveal anything I need to repent of. I was developing a relationship with Holy Spirit. Then I would enter into the holy place. The golden lampstand represents Holy Spirit. The table of showbread represents the Bible, the Word of God, the Jesus, and Jesus, the living Word. And the altar of incense represents our prayers. Father God has given us these precious gifts to enable us to learn how to enter into his presence. We have Jesus, who has purchased our redemption. We have the Bible, which is a lamp unto our feet. We have Holy Spirit, who is our constant nurturer, comforter, and leads us into all truth. And we have prayer, which is direct access. The most holy place, the place of his presence, the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. I would climb up onto the mercy seat and sit in his presence. Troubles that seem huge would evaporate or become manageable. I would get his perspective on all that concerned me. I mean, it was just amazing. Later on, he told me that the cherubim wings that are over the mercy seat filter out all that Father God carries of cares of the whole earth. I need only be concerned with what he tells me. I began a relationship with Father God, with Jesus, and with Holy Spirit. The tabernacle of Moses illustrates to me the starting place, the entering into his presence. But the kingdom perspective is living in his presence. Jesus' prayer in John 17:21, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. That's kingdom perspective of living in his presence. Now, we all have stories of how God has made himself known to us, whether it's scripture that is made real or circumstances that he has brought us through. And from what he has already done, we can learn to rest in those trying circumstances. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So one of my earlier stories is when we lost our house to foreclosure. It was during the economic slowdown in the 80s. My attitude when things were looking bleak was that God was going to turn my business around. But he gave me a vision one morning in prayer, a lot of prayer during that time. I was in a river rafting boat going down the river of life with Jesus. It was really an awesome little vision. I could choose to stay in the river or pull off into an eddy and stay out of the current where it was safe. I chose to stay in the river, which was okay for a bit until I heard a roar of a waterfall. I immediately conjured up a spillway that would take me around and down safely. Didn't happen. We went over the waterfall, but he assured me that we were in his hands. And what he taught Christine and I was that our security wasn't in the American dream, that we weren't responsible for our provision, but that he wanted to be the one, that our trust was to be in him and him alone. He changed our perspective. James 1:2-4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, and that's enduring patience. New American Standard translates the patience as endurance, but I like the patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. I like that the scripture counts it all joy. I like that the scripture says, count it all joy, because it's hard to be joyful when experiencing loss. But when we know our God, we can count on being joyful when we see the circumstances from heaven's perspective. Our faith was tested when we lost the house, but our relationship with the Lord grew greatly from our prolonged times of prayer, of seeking and listening and hearing. Another significant story of how God made himself known to me was when Bernard Johnson spoke at our church. He was known as the Billy Graham of South America. I don't remember exactly what he taught on or preached on, but at the end he invited those who wanted a touch from God to line up across the front. When he laid his hand on my head to pray, I was immediately flooded with an indescribable love from Father God. It was totally overwhelming and clear and vivid. My immediate thought was, the world needs to know. I asked, how can I make this known? The answer was immediate. Learn to be yielded to Holy Spirit. It was a key message for my life. Learn to be yielded. Interestingly, at that time, my exercise program was sit-ups and push-ups and running. For the next couple of days, it was though I had supernatural strength, a physical residue of the power of God. It was pretty amazing. Another story I like to tell is about passing out while we were driving on the freeway. Christine and I had been at her daughter and husband's house in Fresno. They had a guest speaker at church that Sunday. And at the end, he asked anyone that wanted a new testimony to stand. Christine popped right up. I think I stood too, but I don't remember. So, the new testimony. On the drive home, I was driving in the fast lane on 101 at the Highway 37 interchange in Novato. I wasn't tired. I was feeling good. I had just been thanking the Lord for a comfortable car to travel in. Suddenly, I felt myself passing out. I had in mind to say, I need help. Grab the wheel. All I got out was, I need help. Then I was gone. Christine was reading at the time, looked up to see a CHP cruiser on the on-ramp to 101 from Highway 37, and thought, maybe I was going too fast and that's why I spoke. She never looked at me. When the car crossed across all lanes of traffic headed for the CHP car, she thought perhaps we had a flat tire and I was pulling off the road. But that's all she remembers. The next thing we knew, we were waking up to the sound of rustling branches against the side of the car. When we stopped, the car was buried in berry bushes up to the windshield. The airbags were smoking, the windshield was all wavy, the windows on the passenger side and back were gone. The left front tire and axle were halfway up the path that we had plowed through the bushes. We thought Christine was covered in blood, but it was just berry juice. I had a dinky little cut on my little finger. That was all. We found out the next day when we went to get our things out of the car at the tow truck yard that everyone was saying that it was a miracle. It was what a miracle it was that no one was killed or injured. They told us that we had missed the front of the CHP car by 5 feet and that his radar clocked us at 85 when we flew off the freeway. Because the CHP was there to immediately call it in, emergency crews from fire and ambulance were there before we even got out of the car. There was a tree branch sticking out of the small back passenger side window, so I knew we had come close to hitting a tree. When I later went back to see where we flew off, I saw that we had flown between two trees that were so close together it seemed almost impossible for a car to fit between them. That is a huge testimony of God's protection. We serve a big God. He once gave me a picture of just how big he is. In the Star Wars movies, there's a scene of an Empire battlecruiser starship moving up across the entire screen. Anyway, it takes longer than you'd expect. It just keeps on going. So God used that picture that was already in my head, and he said that he's just like that, except that there's no end to him. He just keeps going. So, why the stories? In the Old Testament, God has seen telling his people to make a memorial to remember what he has done for them. Over and over, he instructs them to make a memorial and tell their children what the Lord has done. It was important for them to remember their God and not fall away to the influences of the people around them, the people and the other perspectives of the world. In the same way, it's important for me, for us, to remember all that the Lord has done in our lives to establish relationship with us. It's not enough to know about the Lord. It is essential to establish a growing relationship. Having said that, we can enter into his rest, knowing that if our heart is after him, he is, after all, the author and finisher of our faith. Remember Romans 8, 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Proverbs 10, 12. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. 1 Peter 4, 8, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. God's love for us is so great, he doesn't see our sin. He longs for us to get it. When Jesus said on the cross that he is finished, he meant that it really is a finished work. The veil of the temple is rent. We have free access. We have only to remember what he has already told us and shown us. If you feel you haven't been told or shown enough, accept my testimony that the good news really is true.